go now to hear a wide range of voices from Zuccotti Park or Liberty Plaza, where the Occupy Wall Street protesters are encamped. Occupy Wall Street is a collective resistance movement made up of many sectors of popular opposition to the actions of this government, from pollution to war to the crushing of unions. They're calling themselves the 99%ers, who will no longer tolerate the greed and corruption of the 1%, and they're using tactics quite similar to the Arab Spring, including the use of nonviolence and civil disobedience. Our own Heidi Boghossian spoke with activists, union workers, a lawyer, and many more about where the movement is going, the support for it, and a focus on the demands, such as pushing for the redistribution of wealth from the top 1% of Americans. Let's give a listen.
We just ran into Michael Leonard, a member of the National Lawyers Guild. He's not wearing a legal observer outfit today. Rather, he's in a suit. Michael, why are you here on your lunch break?
I have been coming down here for the past week and a half or so, on and off. And I sometimes have the opportunity to work in downtown Brooklyn. And there was a mix-up with a case, so I came here on my lunch break.
So you're headed off to court after a stop here.
That's right. Headed back to the ring.
And what does the sign you're carrying say?
This was a sign that I picked up up on the steps, and it says, "The crisis is capitalism." And I thought that did the trick.
Have you been talking to a lot of people here over the last 2 weeks?
Well, I've had the opportunity to talk to some people today, standing on the steps. Just get into some positive dialogue with people who are asking the protesters why they're here and what is it exactly they want.
What kind of answers are you getting to those questions, Mike?
Well, those have been questions that have been posed to me. I think that the protesters as a group, and I realize I can't really speak for them, but have been slow to articulate actual demands, and I think that in part is due to a real respect and reverence for the process and for gaining consensus among the group. I've been involved with some of this work for a number of years now, and I think that what we are seeing is a lot of grassroots bottom up decision making, and I think that's really, really wonderful.
Were you on the Brooklyn Bridge this past Saturday?
I wasn't, actually, but I was doing some legal observing here in my green hat right afterwards, and it seemed like the police were pretty agitated. And, you know, when the police get nervous, and they often lose their cool and arrest people. Fortunately, I haven't seen anyone arrested here at Liberty Square, but I know that has been a big threat, and the cops have, you know, been donning their helmets and their plastic cuffs and lining up with the orange nets sometimes, and I think that's a way of trying to menace the protesters, and it's been very confusing for some people at points. So it's been good to have legal observers down here.
Mike, I think you raise an important point. When the police officers seem to feel they're losing control, that's when we see them act perhaps beyond the boundaries of what is acceptable in terms of the Constitution. Mike, you've been to a lot of demos in New York City. Why is this one different, and in what way?
Well, I think that there is a certain tranquility here and a certain feeling of safety in numbers. Now, this obviously isn't true when the police are lining up with orange nets and they've just arrested 300 of your comrades. But there have been instances down here where I have felt a certain peacefulness, even with the amount of police that are around. And I think that, you know, when you come down to Occupy Wall Street, it is just about our presence here. And I think that our presence alone can be very, very powerful. There's obviously tons of ways to plug in, and there's people doing amazing activism within the protests, you know, who are organizing subcommittees and taking care of the day-to-day business that makes this Liberty Square run and keep it organized. But I think that there is a nice aspect of just coming down here to show your presence alone, and I think that is a very powerful thing to do a few blocks from Wall Street.
And today we have in the background Peter from Peter, Paul, and Mary singing. brings us, some of us, back to the 60s.
Any real worthwhile protest and any real worthwhile challenge to authority needs to be nurtured. And I think that our democratic consensus process is an example of how things, it takes longer time to make decisions when it's done by consensus. But the real takeaway from that is that you are nurturing a group and giving everyone a voice in this protest. And I think that can lead to greater numbers and a more of a feeling of inclusion, and you know, just a stronger challenge and more trust and solidarity within the group.
I mean, what would be the next step once you have a lot of people, like around the country, around the world, when people are together, they have a different idea? What's the next step?
Well, I think it's an iterative process. I think that the next step is going back to the tried and true methods of democracy and inclusion and consensus decision making and figuring that out as a group. But that consensus can't come out of it unless you already have the basis of trust, right?
Yeah. I sort of think you have to have a marker or some kind of a goal so people can move towards. If it's just getting together, it'll keep going. I mean, it's growing everywhere, but it's you want to think ahead a little bit where you want to direct all this, where you want to move people's energy and into some sort of change.
Yeah, and that's really the dance, right? That's.
But do you have politicians, corporations, they want to get in front of this? They either want to control or put themselves in front of the parade. And people are loosely organized.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is creating new, the point of this is like creating new possibilities.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
that as we do this
it
more,
opens up a new world.
And as we work together more, we do see new possibilities and new solutions, this intellectual groundswell that happens here. And the more we do it, the more we learn how
now
to do
everybody
it.
Everybody knows it's possible.
Yeah.
Then more and more people will come.
Thanks, Mike.
Concentration and patience to progress. This is the time to act as one. This is the time to unite. If we do not speak our voices, we turn a blind eye. We must be true to ourselves. Together, we will unite with our ill brothers and sisters who have been deceived and led astray. We must act as a generation for greatness. This is our opportunity now. This is the global awakening. Movements across the world, across the country, are growing and mobilizing. October 6th, we occupy the Capitol together. October 15th, the global mobilization occurs. Every city, every state comes together as one. We are the people, and we are united. If we do not accept injustice, we do not accept lies, we do not accept excuses. This is our world, this is our community, and we will make it better. That is all.
Yeah.
They told me that they used to sit here and during their breaks and play chess and checkers,
right.
And now they can't do it. So they're upset about that, and I get that. But I also, you know, I kind of get this as well,
yeah.
To a degree. You know, I have an issue when somebody's protesting against corporate America, yet they're doing it on their MacBook.
And isn't it good that this technology is at their fingertips?
I think technology is great, but I don't know if they're using it for the benefit. I don't really think they know what they're looking for. I think, I've heard a multitude of different things. I've seen a number of different signs, you know. I mean, one, you know, is a complete Pink Floyd reference to the wall. and corporate America, and then you have, you know, other people who want to feed America. You know, I mean, I think that's great, and I think this economy, the country's gone downhill. There's plenty of people out of work and hungry. I think that's a great statement, but I don't think overall there's one concise message. I would rather see something like this happen. I've been fascinated. I've been here all day wandering around. I think it's truly the most unbelievable social experiment I've ever seen. I wish I took my children out of school to come to this. I can't wait for Monday because I'm coming back when they're off. Because, you know, but I don't know. It's incredibly well organized. Incredibly. I mean, they have free food. They have meeting times. There's something bigger behind this. It is a little bit like going to a big Further festival, though, I have to admit. They're the guys working in the World Trade Center, old former site. They're union, blue collar, they pay their benefits, they pay their rent, they pay their taxes, and yet they're peacefully sitting there watching this. And some of them agree. It's interesting. It's a really interesting thing. Yeah.
Are you from here?
No, I live in New Jersey. I'm a Jersey housewife, but not the bad kind. I actually just met my husband for the day to have lunch with him. Well, my husband works for one of the big banks on Wall Street. And we walk through it, and he actually supports a lot of the ideas, but he does find it very funny that they take a lot of their, you know, they had shipments from Amazon, they had, you know, Poland Spring, cases of Poland Spring water sitting there, and, you know, MacBooks, telephones, etc. So, you know, they're utilizing corporate America to get the message out. I have to wonder where the money's coming from, because it's far too organized for just a sit-in protest. There's schedules, there's meetings, there's actually, I watched them today at 11 o'clock this morning, they were, the kitchen staff, which they have a free kitchen, got together and discussed what the meals were going to be for the rest of the day. It was really interesting.
What have you seen over the last 2 weeks?
Pandemonium from all these people, just crowding up the park, getting in our way. They're not really proving a point, but we understand that they're mad about maybe not having jobs, but I personally think none of these people would work if they were, had a job opportunity. I just don't think they're here for a purpose, they're here for a party.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for the most part. I don't see them making any progress about anything. I don't hear about any. All I hear about is they're closing the crowd. Nobody's talking about anything. They're holding up signs and nobody's listening.
Some people are saying their demands aren't clear enough, that there aren't.
Who are they really bothering except pedestrians, everyday pedestrians?
They're not really getting a clear message to Wall Street. When Wall Street's down a couple blocks, they should be over there. This is not really.
They should be over there blocking doorways and stuff,
not going in a public
not
park.
Not crowding the park.
Have you seen deliveries coming in the early morning, food and water?
Well, they're definitely getting deliveries. I don't know what time, though.
Yeah, I haven't seen them yet.
Because this place has been growing rapidly, daily. And it's in the morning when you see it. I come out here for lunch. We used to sit down at benches here. We're to a nice, clean, beautiful park.
It should be all and construction now, workers just for the time.
It's
here.
Just,
it's like a shanty town.
What do you think should be done, though, to protest what's happening with the economy?
Well, for our sakes, we're in the union, so we do our own rallies, and we go and we make a message across. We're talking, and we're getting chants going, so it's pretty obvious what we're getting across. These people are playing drums, and it's just like a hippie convention for the most part. It really doesn't seem like any of these people are really trying to get a clear message across to anyone in Wall Street or...
I have a feeling if you talk to half of them, they don't even know why they're here.
But a lot of the unions are supporting this effort, aren't they?
There are. Don't get me wrong.
I support that they're standing for a cause. And that cause would be jobs. I just think they're going about it the wrong way. All I see is they're crowding apart. And go to the powers that be. They're not talking to anybody over here. Go stand on Bloomberg's front steps or something. Go set up a tent in front of his house.
Well, they did that in the summer, remember?
I guarantee more would get done. All they're doing is crowding the park here.
But they could learn a lot from labor organizing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tom. I just wanted to be part of the movement. I think the banks and the financial institutions have really raped America. And I think to focus this, we're really after getting the restoration of Glass-Steagall restored. That was started in 1933 as a result of the Great Depression. Then they eroded that over the years, and it seems like we're back in the same fix. Is that interfered with corporate profits, of course, so they got rid of Glass-Steagall. So I think we want to focus on one item besides complaining about the Wall Street and so forth, is to restore that good act.
And you, are you from New York?
No, I'm from New Jersey. I was just telling the lady that we finally bought a house, and then due to this terrible mortgage debacle, which was a wholesale robbery, our home has lost about $30,000 in the last 5 years. So it's not just the poor and the homeless who have gotten a beating. The loss of the value of the house, and we're kind of underwater now. We still have to pay for the house. That was a value originally assessed at about $350,000, and now it's about $260,000, so it was kind of a big hit. My wife and I are kind of freelancers, and there's just not as much happening to go there.
What did you expect to see down here?
I thought it would be something like this, maybe a little more noisier, more organized as far as marching by Wall Street, or a little more focused in our demands, because now it's kind of looking a little bit ragtag. And I think we need a couple leaders either giving speeches or rallying people.
I'm from Western New York. I've been here on and off for about 10 days. And were you on the Brooklyn Bridge? Yes, I was. I was arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge. Did you feel that the police were literally leading you onto the bridge? Yes. You know, there's been questions of whether or not they made an actual announcement of, you know, if you go on the Brooklyn Bridge, that you would get arrested. I heard no such announcement. However, I did talk to people who said that the announcement was made on a very, very muffled bullhorn so that they could have it on film that they said it, but that it was not audible even to the people standing right in front of them.
Have you been in other arrest situations, and how did this compare in terms of police treatment of protesters?
I've been arrested for other protest-related things, not in New York City. As I said, I'm from Western New York. However, this was not good, but not bad. I feel that, you know, being cuffed on an MTA bus for 6 hours with no food and no water isn't the best treatment, but I was in no way, like, physically harmed directly by the cops. I do feel like I have a little bone bruising on my wrists from the flexi cuffs, but you know, I know it could be a lot worse. There were other arrests earlier in this occupation where people had, you know, concussions and were not treated well and left on buses and were not able to get medical treatment. So in that way, I feel very lucky that I was not treated as those occupiers were treated. But at the same time, not being able to eat, not having access to water, except for whatever was in our backpacks, is still not very acceptable, in my opinion. We're humans too, you know, whether or not the state or the government agrees with us, we deserve to be treated like humans.
Are you surprised at how this movement is catching on all around the country?
Yes and no, because I am surprised because, you know, of the diversity of people that have been coming out and saying, I'm very particularly far left personally, and was concerned it would be a group of far leftists that would be construed as, you know, another anarchist, militant, violent group of people. However, it has been pleasantly surprising to me the number of people that have come out that are liberal, that are, you know, libertarian, and maybe even conservative, but we all share the same views. We are all the 99%, and we all have very common goals. What really separates, you know, the extreme right from the extreme left, in my opinion, is mostly tactics, and the dispute comes not from the end goal. It's how do we get to that end goal?
Process.
Yeah, process, definitely.
Any final words for people who might be thinking of coming here from around the country?
You know, come out and see what we're all about. Give it a shot. I I came out here only intending to spend a week, and I am back indefinitely because this is a beautiful movement. You know, I would encourage anyone who has any inkling and any, you know, financial resources to get out here to come and do it, even if they can only do it for a weekend, even if they can only come out for one day to do it, because it's a beautiful scenario. And, you know, for those who can't come, you know, we have ways that you can contribute to donations. We have our live stream. We have other ways that you can contribute. Being here in person is not the only way that you can support Occupy Wall Street.
My name is Dig App.
Karen.
And you're helping raise money here to feed people.
Yeah, for people who have gluten-free, who can't eat meats or stuff like that. Most of the food we've been getting in contains that. We have been getting some stuff like rice and lentils and beans and stuff, so it's been okay, but we're trying to raise money for food. I'm just doing this for a little bit here today.
Are you getting a lot of food donations from people?
Yeah, we have been, totally. We've also been getting cash donations, so we order pizza and buy our own food, but definitely the community around us, from everywhere from like restaurants to like little old ladies cooking in their own kitchen, have been bringing in food for us.
They literally come by and bring the food.
Yeah. Trays, totally.
Like what?
I don't know. Lots of stuff I can't eat but want to, like lasagna. Good rice and curries and stuff, yeah.
And does the food demand rise on the weekends?
I don't know. It's always pretty busy. It has been since I've been here. Yeah. The last 5 days.
Where are you from?
I'm from Canada, from British Columbia, actually.
You're from Canada. Why is this important to you?
Because our democracy, our government, our policies follow pretty closely in the footsteps of our neighbors, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty much the same system we live under, even though some minor technical differences. But
and where do you sleep here at night?
I have a little bivy sack over there in Safer Spaces. Keeps me dry and covers my sleeping bag. So the other night when it rained, I think it was maybe Saturday night or something, or Friday night, it was, we had lots of plastic sheets. A lot of people didn't sleep, I don't think. They just stood around. We had tarps and stuff, though, so I don't know. Some people just slept in the rain, I guess, got wet.
Want to hear Law and Disorder again, go to lawanddisorder.org on the web. You should also go to Law and Disorder Radio on Facebook.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.